Good afternoon. Sorry, let me speak into the microphone. Okay, so thank you for that wonderful introduction, Catherine. I'm really pleased to be here with you guys today as a part of this panel for the Health Informatics and Information Technology TIG. And I'm really interested and looking forward to hearing from my other co-panelists' work around their contributions to this field. First things first, I have no relationships to disclose, and so that being said, let's get on to the presentation. So as you heard in my introduction, I'm a part of the Crescent City Beacon Community Program, which is based out of New Orleans, Louisiana. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the Beacon Program, we're one of 17 Beacon communities nationwide who received funding from the Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology. We're funded over 3 years to build and strengthen our health infrastructure and exchange capabilities to improve cost, quality, and population health outcomes, and to test innovative approaches to engaging patients in their care through performance measurement, technology integration, and care delivery. Now, in our community chose to focus on reducing the burden of chronic diseases, particularly diabetes and cardiovascular disease, through improving quality of care using a patient-centered medical home framework enabled by health information technology, and to reduce preventable emergency department visits as well as avoidable inpatient visits through better coordination of care services, and to engage consumers in their healthcare process using mobile health technologies. We actually have a session happening right now elsewhere around our Techs for Health program focused on diabetes. Now, our role with the Crescent City Beacon community was to collect, aggregate, and monitor our community health center's performance on a variety of clinical quality and outcomes metrics. And as I mentioned earlier, we had this group of community health centers who were poised and ready to implement transformational chronic care management interventions, such as establishing care teams, building registries to identify their patients, risk stratifying their patients in those registries, and then using clinical decision support tools to target interventions aimed towards those patients. But there was an elephant in the room, and that was that nobody really trusted their data in their electronic medical record systems. And so that really focused us early on to understand that people needed good data in order to make good decisions and to know where to direct their quality improvement efforts. So that was really at the basis for all of our other quality improvement work that we were going to be doing with these community health centers. So that was really the impetus for us to start what we called our data reporting project. And that was to standardize the data reporting for our 13 community health centers. And in our community, we actually had about 17 community health centers, but fortunately, 13 of which happened to be utilizing the same EMR system. It's called Success EHS. And so our goal there was to create measure harmonization, to get them to all use a common set of measures, to bring them into alignment with the national measure specifications, and to improve their overall data quality, and ultimately to build trust in the data, since that was really an issue with us early on. The way we did this was to engage our stakeholders in measure selection. So they chose measures that were relevant to them at the time, since many of them were undergoing PCMH certification through the NCQA process. So they chose to focus on the Diabetes Provider Recognition Program measures, as well as the Heart and Stroke Program measures. But in our community, practices were a little bit more familiar with and comfortable with the diabetes measures, so we decided to just start there and phase in those measures first. Now, last summer, we embarked upon a feasibility study to determine whether or not our practices were even going to be able to report on these measures. And what we found was that challenges existed at pretty much every level. So at the practice level, practices often lacked dedicated data managers. It may be individuals wearing more than one hat, or they lacked training on the reporting modules of their electronic medical record systems, or they were unfamiliar with the national measure technical specifications. Then at the community level, which is where our beacon sat, we were faced with trying to aggregate data from all of these different data sources in a meaningful and reliable way. And then at the vendor level, they were challenged with trying to translate the national measure specifications into their corresponding system fields to satisfy the different measure criteria. So help was definitely wanted. Our strategy, and through this feasibility study, was really to identify who the most appropriate individuals were at these practices that would be able to report on this on the data measures, and then to bring them together to form a learning collaborative where they could support one another. And we decided that it was really important that we give them written guidance around the measure specifications that contained all of the ICD codes, lab codes, and order codes that they needed in order to be able to report on the measures. And it just made sense that we partner with the EMR vendor that was serving the majority of these practices to build a standardized reporting template, because as we found when we talked to the practices, they wouldn't have been able to report on a lot of these measures on their own without calling the vendor for assistance. And we really didn't want to have 13 different practices getting 13 different people at the other end of the line and coming up with different variations of the reports. So this is just an example of what our report ended up looking like. And for those of you in the back of the room, basically all it is that it gives them a total count of their diabetics that meet the measure criteria and parameters at the top. And then it walks them through the subsets of patients that meet different criteria, such as received A1C testing, A1C control or poor control, or no test at all, blood pressure control, lipid control, and then nephropathy screening and foot and eye exams. And basically, the practices just had to insert the desired date ranges that they wanted and then just wait for the reports to run. Now, through this partnership that we forged with the vendor, we were also able to get them to co-host our quarterly data reporting workshops with us, which really proved to be an efficient and effective manner for our community to ask questions and get responses and kind of all be in the room at the same time to hear what their challenges were. We also conducted quality checks, and we did this in two ways. First of all, it was myself calculating their measures against the national measure criteria to see where there were errors in calculations. And second, through a series of chart reviews where we were able to test the validity of the reports and see if we were pulling in any false positives or false negatives. And then we made ourselves, both the report expert at the vendor side and myself, were available in the weeks that followed to troubleshoot and provide rapid feedback regarding errors. In addition, we also took the practices' data and generated trend graphs for them to see how their practices were performing against the NCQA benchmarks. And that proved to be a useful feedback tool as well. And for those of you who are visual, this is just a schematic of the process that I just described. Those are the steps that we went through tailoring our approach based upon our findings, conducting quality checks, and giving rapid feedback. So what were we able to accomplish? I think in our community, we were definitely successful in creating measure harmonization. We now have all of our community health centers following a common set of measures around diabetes and cardiovascular disease. We've also been successful in bringing them into alignment with national measure specifications. For instance, we've reduced their error proportions from 33.5% down to 13.5%, and that was over a 9-month period. And we've reduced data errors by more than 50% in 11 of our 13 practices. Through this process, we've really learned a lot about what the common pitfalls were when practices would attempt to calculate the measures themselves and what the common data error types were. And we've greatly reduced their reporting burden. For instance, when we first began, practices reported that it would take them days to a week, depending on how many sites they had, to be able to generate these measures themselves. And since we've introduced the reporting template, they've now reduced that amount of time it takes to a couple of hours to just generate the report while it runs. And we've definitely created a culture of continuous learning and sharing, which is a far cry from where we started when people weren't really comfortable sharing their data. I now get phone calls where practices call me up to tell me that they discovered an error on their own and they want to go back and resubmit all of their previous quarters of data. So I think they've definitely come around to having a culture of continuous learning. And I didn't want you to just take my word for it, so I put in some quotes from our participants. This is a quote from one of our nurse practitioners who's saying that she's definitely comfortable with their numbers now, and that, again, is a far cry from where we started. And then the second quote is from one of our medical directors who's referring to our trend graphs that we were able to generate, because for a lot of our practices, this was the first time that they were able to see their data this way. And so they were able to use it as a tool to direct their quality improvement efforts. Now, of course, while having these standardized templates solved about 85 to 90% of our challenges, it's not something that we've discovered that you can just kind of leave and walk away from, because EMR systems are dynamic. And of course, we all know whatever you do on one end affects what you get out on the other end. So I get asked a lot, what are the common challenges that I see? And I have to say, having data managers who are not well integrated with their care teams, you have to stay close to the data. We push them out of their comfort zones to say, go talk to your billing manager, go talk to your IT manager, or your medical director, and see if there have been updates or changes to the system that will affect your data. Provider data entry practices are, of course, behavior, so it's hard to change. Practices using non-standardized or highly customized codes. And that was really a challenge for a lot of our practices who had been on an EMR for several years, because they had highly, highly customized their codes. And then having EMR system defaults to lab values that weren't in structured fields. Well, some of our practices, when they ran their reports, they actually got blanks for all of their measures that pulled in lab values. And it set off a flag that their lab interfaces had been set up improperly. And then medications modules. Medications are constantly being updated, and so it's been a challenge to make sure that the medications that providers are using are in fact mapped over to the rest of the system. And then the EMR system itself oftentimes may be limited in its ability to meet all of the measure criteria, and so that was the case for us for a few of our measures. So lessons learned that I wanted to share with you are that if a system is certified for meaningful use, it may not always mean that you can get meaningful data out of it, or at least easily extractable data out of it without a little bit of work. It's definitely feasible, but it may take a little bit of time for practices to establish trusted baselines. And to start small, as we did, we phased in measures as people became more comfortable with the whole process. And that relationship building is key, with both with your practices as well as maybe partnering with a vendor if that's feasible. And we've definitely learned that the greatest reliability can be achieved via having these standardized templates that you build with a reporting expert from the vendor side. But you have to make sure that it's right, because if you're doing this across practices, if something's wrong, it's wrong for everybody. And that they definitely require ongoing attention and maintenance. So I just wanted to share with you what we're currently doing and what our next steps are. We're using these results to drive changes into the actual data entry modules and like the charting modules of the system. We're also working to ensure sustainability of the changes by incorporating data entry protocols and practices into the community health center's care management protocols. In our community, staff turnover is a big challenge, so having and making sure that those data entry protocols are incorporated are just as important as having other standing orders and things of that nature. And then we're applying our method that we developed here to other EMR systems as well as for other disease conditions. And we're staying closely following the National Quality Forum's eMeasures Learning Collaborative. And if you haven't heard of that, it's a great resource that they're generating a lot of lessons learned and tips for communities like yours that may be going through this process. So we definitely want to have you guys benefit from our work as a beacon. We're responsible for generating lessons learned. And so we're doing our part to try to disseminate our lessons learned at local and national conferences. And we're all, our leadership's also in routine communications with the ONC leadership. And I don't do this work alone. We have a team. So I also want to give a special thanks to Leslie Marshall at Success EHS, who was our reporting expert. So that's it. Thank you.